Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast on the Transcontinental Race number 8. Supported by our race partners, Apadura, Physique, Hutchinson, Kinesis, Komoot, LEM Helmets, and Pedaled. I'm Tom Probert. I've raced the previous three editions of the TCR, but this year I'll be following the race across Europe to bring you all the stories from the heart of the action. We're at a gas station, somewhere in Croatia, en route to Control Point 3. Ulrik Bartholomos leads the transcontinental race, but right now he's slumped against a wall in the shade. He's in a dark place, tucking into an ice cream and questioning why he's still in the race.
How's it going?
You look a...
like a piece of f***.
I don't know.
I'm struggling.
There was a climb maybe 20 kilometers away. It was 1 kilometer long and 30 meter of elevation, or 3%. I walked it because I was not able to paddle.
Have you been keeping an eye on Robin?
What happened to him? He's suffering tetanus shock. Me too.
Arschfleischwunde?
Arschfleischwunde. Yes. That's it.
What do you, whenever that pain comes on with the knee, what do you try to do to deal with it?
Well, this is this, this slightly but dominant pain which is existing on each pedal stroke. And imagine you're doing, like with a low cadence, 60 pedal strokes a minute. So 30 times pain per minute, you can calculate for an hour and for a day. It's, at some point you learn to somehow accept it as it stays on one level. But when the level changes, then... I mean, the position on the bike is perfectly fitted and everything, and I even have medication with me, which specific painkiller for the knee, but you can take it for like just a few days because it's damaging to the kidney.
So what's going through your head right now?
Ice cream. There were no Calippo in Italy at all. I didn't find. And here I found Sedevita, which is something similar to Calippo.
Dermator National Park is a World Heritage Site founded in 1952 and this year home to Control Point 3. It takes its name from the Dermator Massif, part of the Dinaric Alps in northwestern Montenegro. Our riders travelling through the park will be sharing its forests and craggy plains with wolves and bears. Here's race coordinator David Eyre to talk us through what the riders have in store.
We are in Plujin in Montenegro, just over the border from Bosnia, so up in the north of Montenegro on the edge of the Dermator National Park. It's been a long time since they left CP2 now. They've covered a lot of distance. We've seen two kind of main forks in the route, so some riders hugging the Croatian coastline and coming in into the south of Bosnia towards Mostar. Other riders kind of cutting across to Zagreb and then dropping down on the fast roads from Banja Luka down to Sarajevo and beyond. There's been some biblical conditions, there's been some hot conditions as well, so like quite changeable weather, but they're not far away now. First couple of riders are very close to us, and then it doesn't get any easier after they get here either, as they make their way onto the parkour in Dermator. This is a bit of route that we've used in a previous edition of TCR as well. So I think it was back in 2016 that Mike designed a route which brought the riders here. And so this is a little way of us tethering ourselves to the evil genius himself. So this the route that the riders are going to take on that parkour sees them climb quite steeply up into Dermator. They'll be going through some nice tunnels, like quite exposed, very hard riding, but honestly I think some of the most beautiful places that you could go anywhere in the world, never mind Europe. So the parkour are 45 kilometers long in total, so nothing like as long as the ones for CP1, but I think definitely challenging enough for them to know that they've done it, to have a little bit more fatigue in those legs, and probably a few more questions answered by the time they set off due east.
The control point is in a blues bar. The walls are lined with jazz artists and, strangely, photos of Che Guevara and Fidel Castro. Out on the veranda, locals smoke cigars and drink strong Turkish coffee, enjoying the views of Piva Lake, surrounded by lush wooded hillsides.
Yeah, so hi, I'm Chris. I'm the manager at Checkpoint 3 in Montenegro. We're based out of Zvono, cafe, restaurant, hotel place. It's just next to the lake, and we're about 20k up from the border with Bosnia. There's me and five other volunteers here, and we just do 6-hour shifts. I mean, it's a nice place we've got here. We're in a cafe restaurant, so I expect some of the racers will be stopping, making use of the cafe, getting a hot meal inside them before they sort of set off, because they're going into a pretty remote area for the next 50k or something on the parkour. There's not a lot of facilities. It's really stunning here. We're right in the mountains, so there's peaks around us, sort of 2,000 meters, and the parkour goes up into Dermator National Park, which is stunning, and we're on a big man-made reservoir which leads down to the Bosnian border. So I think I'd seen Transcontinental sort of online and stuff since probably the second or third one. Had some friends who have raced it before and have thought about doing it, and thought I'd come and get a bit of actual hands-on experience of what it's like, and see if I definitely want to commit to something quite as daunting as the TCR. So yeah, it's a community that I like, and so to give a little something back to that community and just get involved, and it's great fun hanging out here with all like-minded sort of people, really into their cycling, into their racing and stuff. So it's been good mm-hmm. fun so far. I was here 10 years ago, and by chance had a coffee in this very cafe. And I mean, you see, we're in the middle of nowhere. It was just pure chance that drove past it and stopped. And then when saw this was going to be the checkpoint, I thought, what are the chances? Yeah, what are the chances of that? We've been watching all the different races come up from CP2, and the different routes they've taken. So some have gone as far sort of east as Zagreb, and then coming down what appear to be flatter, straighter routes or roads. And then some have gone through Croatia all the way along the coast, and then a bunch have come through Bosnia as well. And we're now just waiting for Adam and Ulrich to arrive, because they're just around the Bosnian border at the moment, so they're probably about 20k and 30k away from us. So still race it, they're racing here, and amazing how close they are together after 2,500k. They're only minutes apart. A group of maybe 10 people at the moment coming down the coast in Croatia, and they're all must be within an hour of each other. And then we've got the four leaders who are, well, they'll all be coming in this afternoon, this evening, so they're still super close, and pretty exciting to watch them. Like, they are really racing, which is pretty cool to watch.
At 7:20 p.m., the first rider arrives, and it's not Ulrich. Adam Bielek, cap 75, has edged into the lead.
Did you get caught out in the thunderstorm?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
How was it?
I just left Sarajevo, and then it started. And on top of the climb, it got super cold. It was horrible. No, I just kept riding. As soon as I descended a bit, it got a bit warmer, and I survived somehow.
Thanks.
How are you feeling?
I'm seeing the same all over again, tired and exhausted, since CP1, I think.
Just a little while then.
Yeah.
And it doesn't change, because once you are exhausted and tired, it just keeps the same.
Okay, so Adam, you took a slightly more northern route through Bosnia. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, to me it seemed like this is probably the most reasonable route, less climbing, most efficient. Even though it was really tough, I didn't expect it to be that hard. I mean, the whole part through Bosnia, it was challenging. But good thing was it wasn't as hot as yesterday in Croatia. Because this killed me a bit. Instead of that, we had thunderstorms. So not really better than heat.
And are you feeling good?
Yeah, kind of. Perhaps in half an hour ago I felt much better, but then started feeling bad again. But it's always up and down, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And do you know where you are in the positionings?
I checked tracking in Foča, so just before crossing the border. And so Ulrich and Christoph Strasser also gaining ground. I saw these guys, but I expect them to be strong, so it's okay.
Yeah. And, you know, how are you going to sort of like plan your next 24 hours? What's your plan?
Well, just keep doing what I'm doing since a couple of days. So I've got my rhythm and I've got my pace, and I'm trying to keep it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
do you think you've got a win in you?
Perhaps not. It doesn't really matter, because I mean, this year's is special. What's happening in front is just amazing. I mean, we're super fast, and nobody wants to lose ground. This is crazy.
Yeah, it must be an exciting bit of racing over, you know, now 2,500 kilometers to still be racing so hard.
Yeah, and the thing that we are still relatively close together is amazing. So you couldn't imagine that it would end up like this at this point.
Yeah, how does that compare with the other races you've done?
I mean, the other races, my advantage was much bigger, huge mostly. So this, of course, makes things much more excited. And also this time I'm tracking a little more often than I did in the previous races, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Have a nice day, have a nice evening, and enjoy your time here.
Enjoy your time, yeah. Enjoy the parkour. Are you excited?
Yes, and no. I mean, I was excited because there's some climbing coming up, but to be honest, I already had enough this day.
Adam is closely followed by Ulrich.
When did he arrive?
Half an hour or something?
Right, 20 minutes ago?
Okay.
How are you doing since we last saw you?
Way better.
What's your code?
Thank you, man. Way better. Yesterday was kind of difficult. Say it like this. Already scratched like 20 times, calculated my options, and well, in the end I thought you have to go somewhere. You have to go somewhere, no matter if you go to a bus station, train station, whatever, you have to go there by bike, and we were like not quite near to some infrastructure. And so I thought, well, it doesn't make any sense to scratch, just keep going. And it was so terrible hard. And I guess you said, or James said, I don't know, just commuting from gas station to gas station. I basically did this. And like set a milestone on each gas station, treated myself with stuff, and then kept going, and thought maybe a new day is a better day. And today it was. It was significantly better with the knee. Therefore, the saddle sores were worse. Yeah, the mood definitely is going up, but keep going.
How is how you're feeling now compared to what you felt before on these kind of events?
Well, it never was such a long journey to come. And I mean, it's 3 years on the one hand side, and like all the other efforts I already put in preparation, and also the journey like of 4,200 kilometers or something, it's a pretty long thing. So that's the difference, and that's why I take it quite serious to make decisions of whatever kind, because it's like a big thing. I wanted to know how close I can come to Adam, and 20 minutes, it's quite close. I mean, we are 2,700 kilometers in a race, no? And we are chasing each other all the time on different routes, and coming back together on certain points, and then everything which is in between is 20 minutes. On 6 days, something,
yeah,
I don't know, 20 minutes. Yeah, 20 minutes. That's basically what I also today. You can call it a waste of time, or you can call it a treat yourself thing. Just stop at gas stations, have a Calippo, sit there for 5 minutes. And if you do it like four times, you have 20 minutes. So here we are. That's why. Here we go.
We last caught up with Robin Gemperla when we found him at the foot of the Umbriel Pass in Italy, just before the second control point. He was in the lead and feeling confident.
Just one final thing. Are you surprised to be in the lead at this point?
Should probably say yes, but no, not really.
Say what you think, you know?
Yeah. No, I think that's where I want, if I'm really honest.
Stay there.
I don't see myself cracking at the moment.
On the ride from Italy to Montenegro, fatigue and saddle sores have seen Robin lose 6 places, but gained some valuable lessons.
Yeah, checkpoint 2, what was wrong with me? I was like, yeah, I'm not going to crack. What the of course I am, but well, main problem was the saddle sores, obviously. If the transcontinental was like, if everything I get from it was is this experience, I'm fine. I went from feeling the worst to or from feeling really good to feeling the worst to feeling quite maybe humble. And then yeah, for sure. I want to try to get into the top 5, but I think if I just do my thing now, I'll see what will turn out.
Yeah,
that will be possible. But I mean, if I remember that yesterday morning, I did not have the slightest plan of how to finish. I should be really happy. I mean,
Fiona Kolbinger had all her money and bank card stolen in the Czech Republic while sleeping outside in a skate park.
Up to you.
Yeah, what's your number, please?
One.
Oh, of course.
How's it going, Fiona?
Good.
Yeah? Having a good time?
Actually, yes. I had a... Yeah, I mean, this... You know, this day after the theft was hard, kind of. But since the outset has been going fine, and I'm getting along surprisingly well with my Euro cash money that I'm carrying, so I still have something like 150 to go to the finish. Yeah, let's see. I had a few better sleeping places than the half pipe.
When we saw her at the start in Gerardsbergen, Fiona was concerned her route was too long, and her approach to Control Point 3 saw her isolated, out on her own path, far away from any other riders.
You took a really eastern route through Zagreb.
Let's see how many... It probably just doesn't matter that much. It was extremely flat, and that was my thinking behind it. Yep. So it was actually just one hill in the beginning, and now like... two hills in the end, and everything between was super flat, super easy rolling, and yesterday I had a great tailwind, so.
And how are you feeling generally? Feeling good?
Yeah, pretty good, like no issues with my body at all, like it is doing what it's supposed to do, no joint issues.
Are you surprised by how you're getting on?
Yeah, actually I, like, you need to consider that I didn't train that much this year. I did something like 5,500 kilometers in the lead up to the TCR, and now I'm like almost doubling it by the TCR. Yeah. So I'm happy with how it's going.
Yeah. Enjoying the ride.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it, and I'm seeing new places, and that's everything I want from the race.
This next section.
It's going to be like the parkour is going to be steep. It's going to be a lot of climbing, and I hope to be able to make it by daylight because I think it's beautiful up there, and that's why I want to get going very quickly. And then like the next section, Serbia, I hope the traffic is okay, to be honest. That's like my only hope, and like to quickly make it out of Serbia into Romania. And then I'm excited to see if there, like, if my route is again a different one.
We'll see you there. Cheerio.
You're going up?
Yep, we're going up.
Pavel Pilowski is another rider who's opted to travel further to seek out the flattest roads rather than taking a more direct route with more climbing.
I don't know.
It's like the road's supposed to be like big M5 or something. It was like gravel.
Okay. Oh, coming over the border.
Yeah, is that normal?
That's, yep.
Okay.
That's all what right. The other guys found.
Okay, yeah. I asked the guy on the border, what's that road? And he said, I know, I have to go there every day. Later. Yeah.
So, more important question.
Wow, no way. I jumped one up. With that big loop?
I was going to ask you. You've been like steadily climbing each time.
But probably I'm winning in total distance classification.
11 minutes.
I think I have like,
okay,
I don't know, 500 or 700 already.
Okay, are you surprised? Are you surprised at that top three?
No. I saw Christian. Every day he's better.
Yeah.
I could see that. Like he's getting used to how to do it. First days he wasn't sure. Then I'm really impressed of his work.
Mm.
Really, and probably now I'm a fan.
What's the scratch on your arm?
Oh, car hit me.
Oh.
Yeah, in Bosnia.
just before Sarajevo. They're crazy here. I mean, hit me. He was just riding behind me and he was super busy both ways. And yeah, he was really upset that I'm not going off the road, but there was no tarmac, like some gravel on site. So I was just riding and just waved to him, no way, no place. And then I think he got upset. When he suddenly passed me over, and turned right, like pushed me off the road, like rush, and he went, yeah, I know.
I have a good DB now.
Hey, take care, guys.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
Christoph Strasser has been gradually climbing up the rankings and arrives at the Dermator Control in third place.
Hi. Good evening.
Hey man, how are you doing?
I was afraid I was riding too far. Because I don't want to go back up when it's not necessary.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy. Yeah. I manage my resources, so I didn't start too fast, and I have a lot of energy left in my tank. Yeah, I'm continuing to chase the front runners.
Yeah.
But they are strong. They are super strong, and I have to give my very best to catch them.
Yeah. How confident are you in your strategy that starting off slow and now building up fast?
Not confident, but I didn't have any other choice because I knew that there would be some mistakes. So I was like expecting to make some mistakes in the beginning. And I prefer being in the front and not being the hunter. But this time, I had no choice because being in the front, I would have maybe destroyed myself too early. So I had to start slowly and find my routine, find my rhythm, learn how the race is working. I think I'm a fast learner. I understand quite fast how everything is going. So I needed 2 or 3 days to understand the race. And now I have my routine and found my rhythm, and now I can push all there is left.
What have you learned?
Mistakes are okay. Bad routing is okay. Getting into a bike shop and meeting the slowest person ever seen in my life is okay, because in Italy people are slow. You cannot be unfriendly. You cannot accelerate them. You have just quite accepted. And all the other people in the race have the same problems. If there is something breaks down, if there is bad weather or something, everybody has to handle it. So it's no use. It's not useful to hope for a perfect race, because there is never a perfect race.
You're now like 6 days in. How is this comparing to something like Ram?
Much more complicated, definitely, because you have to do the job of 11 people as a one person. You have to handle technical breakdowns, you have to handle planning, sleeping strategy and all that stuff with just one brain while cycling.
Yeah.
So that's the big challenge.
And mentally, how does it differ?
For now, it is, for the reason that I sleep more, it is not as bad as I was afraid of, because 3 hours of sleep per night for me in my race now is better than just 15 minutes. So I do not get so sleep deprived now, but there are 3 more nights to go, so it will sum up. Yeah, it will get very tough in the end.
Control points on the Transcontinental Race are open 24 hours a day, and Amarai Kuna arrives in the early hours of Monday morning.
Feel free to put your shoes on. I'll talk to you.
So how you doing?
More or less okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. How are the saddle sores? Have they gone away?
They're better than the beginning. I can sit on a crust now. So the day after CP2 was mixed. It started not very well. Like, the ride up to the checkpoint was cool. And then going down, I got into really bad headwinds, which made me really like, oh, I'm not strong enough, I can do it, but it's mainly the wind is just kind of like stopping you. And then I had a small stupid mechanical problem. I got my headphones into my cassette.
Oh.
And it looked really, really bad. And I was trying to eat ice cream, putting music and stuff that you shouldn't do like at the same time on the bike. So that really f***ed me up. And then the third part was actually quite good, because then I got into a storm, like rain, thunderstorm stuff with a really strong tailwind. So I would just go in the rain for like 2 or 3 hours. Mm. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, wicked. And what was your route like coming into Montenegro? Where did you go?
I went along the sea, along the coast, quite far. And I think I did a bit of a route planning mistake there. I had a couple of detours. And then I came up to Imotski and then cycled through over this hill. I took the wrong road. So I ended up not taking the nice asphalt one, but the cobblestone one.
Ooh.
So I had to push the bike a lot.
Nice.
That was last night.
Yeah.
But that was okay in the end.
Yeah. And you got here at 3 a.m, did you?
Yeah. 3:15. Something like that.
Pretty worn out?
Pretty worn out, yeah.
And when you wake up in the morning, are you feeling a little bit?
I feel great in the mornings. That's always a good thing. But it's just weird when you get in such a weird state that you don't really feel anything anymore. Then you're just kind of empty, but at the same time I'm angry at myself that I'm feeling so empty. And then it gets kind of weird emotional, but not because I'm not feeling anything.
Yeah. Do you know where you are in the field?
I think I was 21 when I got here, and some other person came. I'm not sure if that person also slept here or left. So
yeah.
Probably 22.
Yeah, and you're actually like riding a second female just now, which is
no pressure.
Exciting. But when you came, when we spoke to you at the start, it was just a privilege to be here.
Yes.
And I assume it still is. But
yes.
Now you're behind Fiona Kolbinger.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
She's long gone. That's good. So I have no chance to get her.
But how does it feel?
Well, I'm very happy about the situation being like this. I can't complain. I hope it's not getting onto my nerves too much. Like, I'm here just to race. I don't want to think too much about positioning. I don't know, it's great what everyone's doing, so I don't mind whether I'm second woman, third, fourth, fifth, tenth. I mean, anything can happen still. I can have such big issues, so I won't be thinking about being second woman for too long right now.
I'm now heading into Dermator National Park and then over into Romania.
Yes.
How are you feeling about that?
Excited. Yeah. I've never been in Romania, nor Serbia, nor Bulgaria, nor Montenegro.
All new territory then.
Yes. Yes.
Well, there's a treat waiting for you up there. So.
The National Park.
Yeah.
Great.
You'll enjoy it.
Yes, thanks.
Good luck.
Thank you.
In the last episode, we heard a rider scratching due to a mechanical issue. Sometimes, however, the urge to give up can be overcome with a simple shift of perspective. Stefan Lombard, cap number 161, reaches the control point on the brink of scratching from the race.
I think I will maybe scratch because I have a big injury on my foot and I continue, but I don't know how long time. And I take, I lost maybe 3-4 hours now. I lost too much time. And I tried yesterday to sleep a little bit
more in hostel because I never sleep in a hotel, and I don't like it because you can't stop when you want, and it takes too much time. So, and how I'm the position?
Nine.
I'm nine. I lost maybe 10 hours.
Surprise.
Yeah, I think I'm 40, and I make a video with my girlfriend. I take to for me it's finished, you know.
What are you thinking? Are you gonna take some time to decide what you want to do next? You mentioned scratching, then do you want me to
record that? Yeah, I will try with my injury and
see how you
can go. Yeah, if I have a big. If the pain is too hard, I will stop it.
Okay.
So, let's go!
Over this kind of distance, bikes are pushed to their limits and components will inevitably fail. Riders are faced with the challenge of overcoming these difficulties under the stress of race conditions and in the spirit of self-reliance.
Yeah, I've got a problem.
You've got a problem?
Yeah, I'll come and sign in first. I need a tyre. Look, it's, I just got a stupid bit of off-road this morning. I got really stuck and it's done that.
Ooh,
Are these your bikes?
There are a couple of volunteers, so it's fine. Yeah.
If they've got a spare tyre with you, can I ask them?
Go ahead and talk to David in there.
Here's race coordinator David Eyre again to explain the intricacies of this situation.
So we have just had Cap 170, that's Michael Broadwith, arrive in 10th position at the CP3 here in Dermatil National Park in Montenegro. He was in a slightly flustered state, so his rear wheel was playing up and rocking quite a bit. And so he was in the process of looking for a new tyre and asking for advice about that. And wanted to know whether he could purchase a rear tyre off anyone in this in guest houses of honour that were having the CP app.
Is this gentleman a volunteer?
I'm a volunteer. I've just been out for a small ride.
How have you? I don't suppose you've got a spare tyre with you, have you?
Ah, spare inner tube.
No, tyre.
Not a tyre, no.
I don't suppose you want to sell me one of your tyres, do you? I don't know if that's allowed.
Do you have 700C?
Yeah.
I got 700C28 Vittoria something or other.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing. If you sell it to me, that'd be incredible.
Is it okay, David?
He wanted to turn it into a commercial transaction, so he wasn't asking for something for free from anyone. He wanted to purchase a tyre off someone else to use. But like having checked with Anna, that's not a commercially available transaction, so it isn't something that would necessarily be available to all the riders coming through here. And as a consequence, if he had proceeded with that, it would have taken him out of GC. So the decision was, does he try and fix his own tyre and stay within GC, or does he take the new tyre from a volunteer and accept that that takes him out of it?
I'm going to give you the tyre back. I'm going to try and bodge something.
Okay.
Oh, Peter, I'm sorry. Sorry to put you in that position, Peter. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry I put you in that position.
No. It's not your fault.
I've got some tape, and I've even got a bit of spare tyre.
Yeah, I think he was understandably flustered. He could see his rear wheel wobbling quite a lot and had like concerns for his own safety, I suppose, like not knowing exactly what was coming next in that moment. So, yeah, I think this is the thing when you're nearly 7 days into a race as well. Your bandwidth is just that little bit lower than it usually is, and it's harder to make those really rational decisions. And so I think he needed to ask the question a few times to make sure that he was clear on it and he knew the consequences of it. So I think he got there in the end.
So I'm still in GC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fix your entire GC.
Yeah, and I haven't got a penalty for asking about it?
No.
Okay, cool.
Fine.
Right,
yeah.
Cool. Off we go. Cheers, Peter, you're a gentleman.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Have a nice trip.
I'll fist bump you. Oh yeah, it feels perfect.
In the next episode, we go deeper into Eastern Europe as the riders traverse the Transalpina Highway in Romania to reach control point 4. This is the final control point, and once riders have negotiated its gravel parkour, they're on the home straight to Burgas. To stay up to date with race events as they happen, tune into our daily episodes to get reaction from our team of TCR veterans and the occasional special guest. Don't forget to send in your questions by email to race@transcontinental.cc and make sure the subject is podcast question. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at Control Point 4. This podcast is supported by our race partners, Apidura, Physique, Hutchinson, Kinesis, Komoot, LEM Helmets, and Pedaled. All the music has been created for this series by Joe Skinner.